The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, my Lord.
The scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "The disciples of John the Baptist fast often and offer prayers, and the disciples of the Pharisees do the same, but yours eat and drink." Jesus answered them, "Can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them. Then they will fast on those days." And he also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new cloak to patch an old one. Otherwise he will tear the new, and the piece from it will not match the old cloak. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will be spilled, and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one who has been drinking the old wine desires new, for he says the old is good." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The great cry of the Old Testament, seen in so many psalms, which has become the motto of religious life, is "Faciam tuum, Domine, requiram." I seek your face, O Lord. But it's important to seek the true face of the Lord. Today, in this first reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, it describes that Jesus is the icon of the invisible God. Not just the representation, not just the image, but the manifestation of God's face, for whom everybody had been seeking. Over the course of time, we see that people were trying to fit their image of God into their own old wineskins. This whole letter of the Colossians was being written to a church that was infiltrated with the Gnostic heresy. In order to understand what and why St. Paul said what he did today, it's important to grasp that context. They thought that matter was bad. Because matter was bad, God, who was good, couldn't have created bad matter. And so there were a series of emanations, kind of ripples on a stream, each one more and more distant by God. And finally, these emanations at the very end, some emanation that had turned against God was the actual creator, because matter was bad. More than that, because matter was bad, Jesus couldn't have had real footprints. He couldn't have had a body. He couldn't have given the body on a cross. He couldn't give us his own flesh and blood. All of it was just fantasy. So St. Paul comes on out and says what? Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God. But it's not just going to be that he's going to show us what he looks like. He's the firstborn of all creation. It didn't mean he was created, but it means preeminent of all creation, because he assumed creation unto himself when he became incarnate. In him, not in these emanations, in Christ, all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, all these levels of angels were created through him and for him. Then it goes on. He's the head of the body, the church. So we're starting to take Jesus' physicality, his incarnation, and trying to show how it's going to continue in us. "For in him the fullness was pleased to dwell." These Gnostics thought that the whole pattern of life was through a secret set of knowledge in which you went back up the stairs of these emanations to God until you got to the pleroma, Greek word that basically means the all of all. St. Paul's saying Jesus is the all of all. In him the fullness is pleased to dwell. So that's creation. But then St. Paul goes to the new creation, which he wanted to proclaim as his hands were chained to a wall in a Roman prison. Through him, He was pleased to reconcile all things, making peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or whether those in heaven. That it was through that body that we see not only the pleroma of the manifestation of God as a static image, but we see that God is with us precisely in order to save us at every instant. In other words, Jesus is the manifestation of God who is love, and love so great that he holds nothing back, but spares nothing of himself in order to bring us into that communion of love. We need to open ourselves up to this constant reality. We might not be infected by these Gnostic heresies, but we've got our own sets of ideas about the way Christianity is supposed to be lived. A lot of the times we need to be converted from that just as much as those in Colossae needed to be converted from Gnosticism. And so the Pharisees come up to Jesus with a question today. The disciples of John the Baptist fast and pray. Disciples of the Pharisees fast and pray. They pray three times a day. They fast three times a week. They're given all these diets, all the other. Why aren't your disciples doing it? Jesus comes and he says, because the fundamental aspect of our life is nuptial. It's a spousal union. And when you've got that, you've got love and you've got joy. There'll be a time, he says, when the bridegroom's taken away, then they will fast. Reason why Pope Francis has called the entire church to pray and fast tomorrow is because in Syria, as well as in many other places, there are parts where God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist when people use chemical weapons or even conventional weapons to murder people who are supposed to be their brothers and sisters. And that's why we fast, because God's absent in those circumstances. We fast in Lent, because there are parts of our life in which God is not yet the pleroma. He's not fully all in all in us. And so we fast to stoke up our hunger, our desire, our seeking of his face in the concrete realities of every life. A lot of the times we don't look at our faith with this nuptial dimension of a drama of love. We go about with our religious duties. That's why Jesus uses this parable today to say every day he wants to give us something new, but we can't have those old, hardened wineskins. When he pours himself into us, the Holy Spirit's there, and the Holy Spirit breathes far more than any fermentation in wine. But if the receptacle is too hardened, as that Holy Spirit tries to expand our hearts, it's going to burst everything. That the old wineskins would be related to what Jesus would say in the parable of the sower and the seed, of that hardened soil that the real seed of the Word of God can't penetrate. So every day as Jesus gives himself to us, he wants to give us new wineskins, a type of loving receptivity by which we can receive him. But the whole reality is nuptial. Today in the Vatican, when Pope Francis was preaching on this passage, he wanted to underline that point. And because it's nuptial, it must be lived with joy. I mean, how many people on their wedding day are miserable? Very few. And we're the bride. And the entire Christian life is an expectation for the fulfillment of that union at the wedding banquet in heaven, but we're already, in a sense, newlyweds with Jesus here. And that needs to characterize the way we live the faith, that the words of the responsorial psalm today come with joy into the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord's with us, we should be joyful, even, Pope Francis said, when we've got the really difficult things of human life, when we've got the sufferings, when we've got the hardships, when we've got the pains. He specifically cited the martyrs as they were singing joyfully, going to their martyrdom as if they were going to their own wedding. That should be the perpetual song we sing. We're not only seeking the face of the Lord, but we see the face of the Lord in Jesus, who loves us so much, gets down on both of his bloody knees, proposes to us because he wants to be wedded with us forever, to take us not through emanations back to the eternal wedding banquet, but to take us in his arms all the way there. But that's the first reality. The second, Pope Francis said, is from that parable of the wedding banquet Jesus gives, when he said they went on out to invite everybody to the wedding banquet and somebody didn't show up with his wedding garment. How could you show up here without your wedding garment? And he was sent out where there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. What is that wedding garment? Two things. First, it's our baptismal garment given to us by God. But it's also the wineskins, in a sense, that God gives us every day, that our baptismal garment is supposed to be growing at the same time that we're growing 1,000 cubits by 1,000 cubits along that image of Ezekiel that we see, which is a symbol of the Christian life as we grow in the living water of the Lord. Today, we're celebrating the votive mass of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as the Church does every first Friday. And on this day, we can think about what Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque there in Pere Limonial, how wounded he was, this great lover with a capital L, as he came down to give himself to us in the sacrament of his love. And for most, he said, he got only coldness, indifference, sacrilege, scorn, and irreverence. In this great spousal celebration, and it hurt him. And then he turned to those who are consecrated, and he said, what pains me most is that those who are consecrated to me treat me in this way. We could flip it around and basically say that Jesus wants all of us to go with joy into the presence of the Lord, to recognize what an incredible gift this is. Those who are consecrated to him in any special way are supposed to be the most joyous of all. And it pains the good Lord when we're receiving his joy-filled love with old wineskins, with a stubbornness, with a hardness of heart, where we're not open to the way he wants to change us because we're just saying the old wine is good. Today, as we come to the consummation of that nuptial union, when the bridegroom gives his body and blood and places it within us, the bride, the old altars in the church, in the early church were always covered with canopies, just like beds were covered with canopies, to symbolize that the altar is the wedding bed where this marital union is consummated with the bridegroom. As he comes to give himself to us, we ask him to send the Holy Spirit to dress us in our white, not only baptismal garments, but nuptial garments, as we prepare for this union. And we ask the Lord to fill us with his presence, which is joy-filled, so that we might take that joy to the world. I seek your face, O Lord. Show me your face and help me to live in your joy. Amen.